At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Lupe Valdez is running for governor. The longtime Dallas County Sheriff, the daughter of South Texas migrant workers, said today she will resign to challenge Governor Greg Abbott. Observers say Valdez is the strongest Democratic challenger in the race, but winning office, that will be an uphill battle. As KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, that's nothing new for her.
After signing her official filing papers at Texas Democratic headquarters in Austin, Lupe Valdez made her announcement.
I'm stepping up. Estoy obligada. For Texas, for everyone's fair shot to get ahead. I'm in.
Valdez framed her run in economic terms, saying she's experienced the struggle to make ends meet that many Texans face. She said her story is proof that education opens doors.
Opportunity in Texas ought to be as big as this great state. But for far too long, hard-working Texans have been left behind, kept out, and frankly, attacked for who they are, where they come from, and who they love.
Valdez was first elected Dallas County Sheriff in 2004. In a StoryCorps interview, she said she was a political outsider.
Nobody had ever heard of me. There'd never been a minority run for sheriff. There'd never been a female run for sheriff. And all of a sudden, I come up with a minority Hispanic lesbian.
Valdez is an Army veteran. She spent decades in federal law enforcement and then decided to launch a political career. But she says challenges are nothing new for her.
I'm the eighth child of migrant workers. You know, I was one of the few that got to go to school in my family because in the 50s, if you were migrant workers, you didn't get to go to school. You just worked.
When she became sheriff in 2004, Valdez inherited a department with lagging morale and a jail system that was failing health and safety inspections. She turned things around. And over a dozen years in office, her political profile grew. She's publicly tussled with Governor Greg Abbott over immigration, and she was invited to speak at last year's Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Please welcome Sheriff Lupe Valdez from Dallas, Texas.
Now, with the 70-year-old Valdez running for governor, Texas Democrats can breathe a sigh of relief. University of Houston political scientist Brandon Rodinghouse says the party has been struggling to recruit a strong candidate for the top of the ticket.
Number one, it solves the problem of who's going to run. Number two, it gives them a type of candidate who is perfect to activate the sleeping electorate, younger people, Latinos, liberal Democrats, to come out and vote. And typically that doesn't happen in a midterm election.
Make no mistake, though, getting to the governor's mansion will be really, really hard. Greg Abbott is popular, he's an incumbent, and he's a Republican in a state that hasn't elected a Democratic governor since 1990. Plus, Abbott already has more than $40 million in campaign cash. Cal Gilson from Southern Methodist University says that's about how much Wendy Davis spent on her race back in 2014, and she lost by 20 points.
So Lupe Valdez doesn't necessarily need $40 million, but she needs millions. Tens of millions, really, and she needs a compelling message that she and the Texas Democratic Party can push. It's got to start with education. It's got to include health care and jobs.
Of course, before Valdez can face off with Greg Abbott, there's the Democratic primary to get through. That'll almost definitely include another high-profile candidate. Andrew White, the businessman's son of a former governor, is scheduled to announce his election bid tomorrow. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
The Dallas Morning News conducted an investigation about what happens to kids after a mother's arrest. And in that process, they learned that more women are being jailed in Texas, even though arrests of women have dropped. Reporter Carrie Aspinwall talked with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
So it's my understanding you found the number of women in county jails across Texas awaiting trial has increased by about, what, 50% since 2011?
Almost. You know, it's a tricky thing to measure because the population of county jails goes up and down a lot any given month. So we decided to track the trend overall from the first data point that we had, this most recent data. It starts in 2011, and then we look at the most recent month, and over that time, it goes up and down a little bit, but it goes steadily up from 2011 to now. And of the most recent count, it was at about 48% increase overall.
So you have this trajectory of women behind bars in Texas going up, but arrests of women dropping. How does that square?
You know, it sounds kind of puzzling because I think when we first told people that the volume of women in jails were going up, they assumed it was part of a crime wave. But what we know, if you look at Department of Public Safety data and those crime stats that come out every year that are part of the FBI data, you know, there's actually been a decrease in most crime categories and most violent crime categories. There's some areas that have had spikes, but overall crime in Texas has gone down, and same with arrests. What that tells us is that either people are sitting in there longer because they can't make bail, or sometimes people go to jail and there's not necessarily an arrest that would count because it's not a new crime. They might be put back in on it's called a capias fine warrants. You failed to pay your fines to the court, or you show up late for a court hearing and they throw you in jail, or it's a probation violation that you don't check in and they go and grab you. So it doesn't count as a new crime or a new arrest, but you end up back in jail just the same.
Now, you didn't just look at the numbers. You actually wanted to get a chance to talk to some of the people who are experiencing this process. Was there a story that maybe stuck out to you that's sort of emblematic of what's happening?
It's the same story I see a lot in jail. There's young people who make mistakes. I think in Burnett, we met a lady named Shaniqua. She tried to sell candy to an undercover cop. She was, 21, 22 at the time, very young. And she got probation. So that's usually what happens if you're a youthful offender and it's your first charge. They try to give you a second chance. I think the only reason they even threw a real serious sentence at her was there was an evading arrest charge, because typically if you're not actually selling drugs, if you're just fake selling drugs, they don't give you that big of a charge. But she tried to evade arrest and got probation. But then she failed probation. She, I think, got a dirty drug test for marijuana. Mm-hmm. A lot of the critics of probation systems say that it's kind of designed to make people fail.
Carrie, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
That was Carrie Aspinwall with the Dallas Morning News, and David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard. Both Pablo Picasso and Steve Jobs are known for revolutionizing their fields. And it turns out that all innovation is a product of bending, breaking, and blending what had existed before into something new. That's according to neuroscientist David Eagleman. Today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about how artists and scientists innovate.
The same cognitive processes that are happening with artists, where you get to see this bending and breaking and blending overtly, is the exact same thing that's happening in the sciences, but of course that's usually covert. You don't get to see how these great inventions are working. If we're sitting in an NPR studio right now and I'm looking at all this equipment in front of me, I don't know what's under the hood here, and all the massive creativity that went into making these boards and these sound devices. But it turns out when we dove down into this stuff, it's exactly the same sort of process, which is absorbing the world and then trying out slightly different versions of it, bending and breaking and blending things, smashing things together like a food processor and generating new ideas for things. And that's what has allowed our species to take over every corner of the planet from, starting in a small area in Africa, because of these, small tweaks in the way that human brains do things. We've been able to, become this completely runaway species.
David Eagleman is the co-author, along with Anthony Brandt, of The Runaway Species, How Human Creativity Remakes the World. This episode of Think Rares tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Coming up tomorrow morning, The Shape of Water is the latest film from visionary director Guillermo del Toro. It features a monster who's actually the character the audience roots for. Our big screen team talks about movies that give monsters a fair shake with an SMU professor who specializes in monster movies. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. Cloudy skies expected this evening, low around 37. Tomorrow should be partly sunny with a high near 46. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.